And good afternoon and welcome to Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Jared Griffin. And on today's episode, we're talking about food and one of my favorite things to talk and think about, of course, is food. But specifically, we're thinking about and talking about locally grown food today. And it's pretty well known that Alaska is experiencing I don't know if crisis is the right word, but it's definitely experiencing food insecurity. Governor Dunleavy established the Office of Food Security last year, and I think it's about 1 in 9 people in Alaska face hunger, including 1 in 7 children. And so locally, to help respond to food security, fresh food, food deserts, the economic and environmental impacts of food in general. I know these are big things, and we're going to solve all of them today. But here with me in the studio to talk about that and the Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op, which was formed in 2016, is Stephanie Mason, the acting chair of the Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And Rob Stauffer, the new project director at KHFC. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank
you. Okay, so let's start off with what is the co-op? How does it work?
What is the co-op? How does it work? That's a big question. So Kodiak Harvest Food Cooperative really got started from a community meeting in 2015. And there was the recognition of a need for local food and good, better quality food, and also a space where we can kind of support our local ag efforts. And what kind of model would kind of fit best? And that was voted by the steering committee that I was actually a part of too back in the day. And we decided the cooperative model. It's, you know, member-owned, based off of 7 principles that I don't have in front of me right now. Equity, but really, like, the values, the cooperative values are equity, equality, mutual self-help, self-responsibility, democracy, solidarity, honesty, openness, social responsibility, and really caring for others. And it was just... yeah, it seemed right for this community, and we moved forward with incorporation in 2016, and a board was formed from there, and I was on that. I feel completely,
totally honored,
and I'm still involved. And this last year, I got kind of sucked in to be chair, which, again, an honor, but there's just a lot of great things, and it's so cool to see it develop over all these years, mm-hmm. and still be a part of it and see it growing and growing. Yeah.
So give us some of the details on how it works. So you purchase or consign food from local growers, and now you have a storefront, but there are also some other services.
Totally. Do you want to get into that, Rob?
So, yes.
I'll support you.
One of the main goals of the co-op is to support local producers, whether it's growers or it's those in the community that are involved in fishing that are bringing locally sourced fish to the market. It can use both models. It can be consignment as well as direct purchase and then resale. And our goal, you know, Alaska, one of the things that was identified in the studies about the food insecurity of Alaska is that 95% of our food is imported. You know, we're bringing it in from somewhere else. We're bringing it from very long distances. Those supply chains were laid bare, you know, during the pandemic. We just didn't have stuff available. And there's some realities of Alaska in that we're a northern climate, subarctic, you know, trying to grow in those seasons. Can be challenging, but it's not impossible, and we have some amazing growers here. And we have one of the world's best fisheries, you know. So looking at how the community gets its food, where does that food come from, how much can be sourced here, so much more can be, that 95% amount that can really be reduced by local growth, or, you know, locally grown food and locally caught food. And our goal is to be the main facilitator of that. So locals that grow produce during the summer or in the bench seasons of late spring and early fall have the potential of selling their products to us. We try to make it available to the community. It helps that we have a storefront that people can come into on a regular basis versus that producer trying to find a market within the community. And there's plenty that have their own local markets. You know, they have their friends and family that buy from their gardens or buy their chicken eggs, you know, and do very well at it. But it's hard to scale up from that kind of an operation. And so we provide that ability to bring on that scale because we can then get that produce, put it in front of a lot more buyers and get that produce, you know, on the plates, on the tables of local community members.
Yeah. Especially like this past couple of weeks with the high winds and the weather, and every time we walk into the grocery store, there's less and less food there. Do you see like an uptick in interest in when the shelves dry out in some of the other stores?
Definitely.
So absolutely.
Saturday was our biggest day yet.
Yeah.
And word has slowly been getting around that we have a storefront. People are slowly finding us, but word of mouth on Saturday that we were the last produce in town, that really brought everyone in the door. It was crazy. It was so fun. It felt like a community event. There were so many people coming in, hanging out, checking things out, discovering that we carry local fish, discovering that we have all this organic produce. It was just really fun. So yes, definitely the winds were a blessing in disguise. Our shipments right. were delayed as well. You know, we had some stuff coming in that's still floating around the Pacific, and but thankfully we had quite a bit on hand to get people some fresh produce and fruit.
Yeah, and also what's really unique about, so like you asked about like what we offer right now, and so we have our storefront, and we also offer a produce box, which we have a wait list for subscriptions right now, just because we're doing what we can with the staff that we have, and we hope to expand that eventually. But a maker's market as well, which brings in cottage food producers, and we are just facilitating the direct sales from the cottage food producer to the hands of the customer. And everything in our store right now is Alaskan. It's Alaskan made. We have vendors. Well, I guess now we're expanding more regionally. We're still kind of keeping it on the west side when we do have to import things that our customers want and need. And we're experiencing with that. But up until like before Rob came on and has been exploring with other products, really a large amount of our products in our store are Alaskan made. We have vendors from across the state that we import stuff from. So,
let's talk about some of the, how important are the impacts of having, this food available from local producers. There are economic impacts or environmental impacts. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not shipping the things in, right?
Totally. You're cutting the carbon footprint like right away by reducing any kind of shipping or transportation. So, and that also aligns with our mission. We wanted to be economically sustainable as well as environmentally responsible. And keeping it local, it says it right there. We get to cut out kind of all of the middlemen, right? We're just going directly to the producers and agriculture. And then when we're making decisions about increasing our products, we look for also businesses that are aware of this, like economically sustainable, environmentally aware and friendly. And we kind of start at Washington, kind of the closest that we can, and then we'll
work out
from there. Yeah.
And the other key impact locally is that whatever dollar is made stays in the community. So
huge.
Let's say a producer is growing, you know, lettuce for us. You know, it's a quick, easier grow. They get that money directly from us purchasing it. You know, we're buying it at a sort of wholesale and then turning around and trying to keep that markup minimal so that it keeps that value in the community and gets that on the plates of, you know, local consumers. But that dollar is cycling back through the community. Mm-hmm. we give it to them. They go out and they shop and buy other products in the community, and hopefully it's working its way around the small businesses of the community. Or, you know, they're coming back into the store and hopefully buying some local fish, you know, that then supplements their diet. So yeah. that cannot be understated how important that local dollar circulating through the community is. I mean, 95% of our food imports, that means 95% of our food dollars go somewhere else in the United States. And even what is sold in Alaska, you know, oftentimes if we're, you know, if it's being brought in for somewhere else, I mean, that's going to somewhere else's wholesaler, you know. So large market supermarkets and such, most of that money is going out to a corporate headquarters.
Exactly. That kind of inspired me to read our vision real quick of the co-op, because I think it touched on everything both of you guys just talked about. But really build a community-owned grocery store emphasizing locally harvested seafood and produce supplemented with regionally sourced goods. And community-owned, like, do we want to talk about members?
Yeah.
How many members
How does that work? How do the shares work? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a $150 investment, and we call it an owner share. And really, this is you investing in us, and you own a piece of the grocery store. Of us and our efforts right now, and that's how cooperatives work. So similar to REI, that's one that people are familiar with. You eventually, when we become profitable, we anticipate being able to give back dividends based off of what you're spending in our store. We're not quite there yet, so we appreciate you still believing in us and investing in us. It also shows banks when that time comes, if we need to negotiate, if we are just growing and we need to build a bigger store, it shows that the community is behind us. And these, when you buy a share, that's showing that banks that you're going to be shopping at our grocery store. And we're at how many right now?
We're at 612 members at this point.
Yeah. Wow. So. Yeah. And that also shows, too, in all of our feasibility studies and market studies, we really have to have that behind us in order to be successful. Yeah.
And our initial target is seeing if we can get 1,000 community members to sign up.
Okay.
So we're over halfway. It's been exciting to watch it grow. Every week we're getting more and more people, especially as people are discovering the store. Yeah. We're getting more and more membership requests.
Yeah. And it's a one-time fee.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
one-time fee. $150. And right now, like I talked about dividends in the future, but right now we do, we have kind of some member perks. We have locally harvested and canned salmon that we provide. It's those pretty kind of seafoam green labels that you see. And you get a member price there, which I think is $4 per can.
$4.50
per can.
Yep.
How much
case? And $108 for a case of 24. So.
Yeah.
A pretty good deal.
That's
if
a great
deal. You shop
around
and look for red salmon on the market, it's hard to find.
When I can tell when my wife has gone and grabbed our counter is just like stacked with those cans.
Beautiful.
It's really nice. I don't want to put them in the cabinet.
I think shout out to Marina Thomas, the artist. She did that.
Can I ask about, this is something I'm personally curious about, is what are the, and this isn't a particularly, you know, sexy topic when it comes to co-op, but what are some of the, like, regulatory things that you face with selling food?
So we do, as we expand, we have to be careful. Like, we cannot, prepare food in the space that we're at right now. We are like solely kind of acting as like a food hub. And so we're bringing food in and we're facilitating and distributing, minimizing any kind of handling. But we are good friends with ADEC and we are following, we just had a recent visit and she was impressed with all of our operations and cleanliness and everything. So we're making sure we're checking all the boxes as we slowly expand. But really, we've never done this before. Like starting a grocery store, that's not my specialty.
Yeah.
I do environmental work on the outside. Like none of us have done this. We're so lucky to have ADEC, like wanting to see us succeed. and also other consultants. We mm-hmm. have support from like lower 48 cooperatives that, and then there's also, this is kind of a cool fact. There's only two other cooperative models in the state of Alaska. It is very kind of new food cooperatives,
oh, wow.
I should say.
Yeah.
And that's in Sitka and Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And so we meet on a monthly basis to support each other and kind of talk about things. But yeah, and we'll talk about regulations all the time. Like, what's going on with this? Because them too, there's usually, yeah.
Yeah, you have Fairbanks that has mm-hmm. a full service store. They went mm-hmm. the full capital campaign, and so they've gone through all the regulatory.
Oh, wow.
So they're a great resource. And then Sitka's more along the lines of us, developing as they go yeah. and expanding. Mm-hmm. There are some interesting things, and this is where, you know, local producers, it can be challenging to be a local producer. You're small, you're just starting out, and you get handed a page of AEDCE regulations, and
right.
it can be intimidating. And when you read through it, it does not lay out a great roadmap for you. It's we get a phone back and forth on the phone with our producers trying to figure out things, labeling, you know, such.
Right.
We do provide our Saturday market is for our local cottage food industry. And they're ones who run into this, you know, learning the processes of negotiating regulations. Cottage food is food that can be prepared at home and sold directly from the producer to the end user. So in that case, we can't be the in-between.
Mm-hmm.
They can't sell it to us and for us to put it on the shelves or in the cooler to sell out to the local consumer. It has to be a direct sale. Mm-hmm. And that's why we provide that market. We want our local cottage food producers to succeed because that's a great way for them to try their business model and see if they can actually grow to the level of having a commercial kitchen. You know, that's a huge expensive commitment and
mm-hmm.
it's a huge stumbling block for people to grow. So we have a couple of local bakers that take advantage of our market, and it's been really successful.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them the confidence and experience and the initial capital, you know, of being able to make those sales to expand further and look towards, you know, what is it to become an official provider.
Mm-hmm.
So
what are some of the more, what are people buying? What are some of the more popular things you just can't keep on the shelf because...
Our number one sellers are canned salmon, obviously. It's just kind of that staple. I think the community knows that we have it. Everybody likes to have how many months food in their pantry. It's just kind of nice to have.
We have so many teenagers. It's like 3 days.
Okay,
that's like every 3 or 4 days we have to.
Yeah. And then produce is huge. Our produce is organic.
Mm-hmm.
It's, supplied by another cooperative. It's a farmer cooperative from the lower 48 in Oregon, based
yep.
out of Oregon. And it's just the best. I have to be honest, it's going to be the freshest, best quality produce that you can get on the island right now.
And you got to try it. It's mm-hmm. It is. The blueberries, the peppers, it's everything is just very flavorful.
You
can tell that it's coming straight from the farms. Avocados, yes. Avocados were our biggest seller on Saturday.
Yes.
We'd had a glut of them that came in and they got wiped completely. So,
yeah, sometimes the avocados are a little hit and miss. At
some of the others. It's like 50-50.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, we don't need to bash.
No, yeah.
It's the reality of long supply chains.
Right.
And this is kind of nice, organically fresh, organically grown, I apologize, is our producer, is the farmers co-op that we buy from. And you can tell that they are buying directly from farms and it's mm-hmm. getting shipped to us and it hasn't sat, you know, in warehouses for a long time. It's coming in nice and fresh. It's
mm-hmm.
And it's fun to provide that to the community and it's mm-hmm. fun seeing people want it. You know,
right.
like you asked what our biggest sellers are. So salmon totally. And produce. It's
salmon, produce.
People want the healthy
also,
stuff.
Also Chugach chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys are familiar with their fun. They've got Himalayan pink salt. They've got kelp and cayenne chocolate bars. I mean, they're...
That sounds delicious.
I think birch syrup toffee.
Yep.
Anybody drooling right now?
Potato
chip.
Because I am. That one, but that's,
yeah.
people like it.
And barnacle. Barnacle salsa. They mm-hmm. have... I think... Do they go by Barnacle Seafoods right now? Or just Barnacle? But one
barnacle.
Of those. Yeah, they have salsa and hot sauce. The hot sauce is very popular, and they just came out with a new product that we sold out of
mm-hmm.
because it is that good. It's this like kelp chili crisp, and it's delicious.
It flew off our shelves. The next order comes in hopefully Friday.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
And, yep. And they do a range of spices, toppings mm-hmm. to put on things.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, they've got a wide variety of products. Yeah. Seasonings. They've got everything bagel.
Yep.
Seasoning with a little kelp in there for your antioxidants and vitamins.
And then we have the Alaska Flour Company, which has quite a few baking mixes that have really started to take off. So got a whole nother slew of those coming in. So you can get your brownies and chocolate chips and chocolate cakes and corn muffins.
And barley flour.
Yep, barley flour. They, and the majority of their flour is grown in Alaska, grown and milled in Alaska.
Wow.
Yes. Which it's really exciting to see the full chain of not just the direct staple, but turning it into the value added.
Yeah.
And what, how would you, what are your customers saying that you need more of?
More of. It's
something you just haven't been able, you just haven't been able to get on the shelves maybe just yet that,
They want more produce.
Just more.
They want more, they want more of this good quality produce that will last in their fridge and freezer, but also local. With the eggs right now.
Eggs.
Is probably number one.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah. So. And we're in contact with a couple local farmers that are working on expanding their operations, and we have a really good relationship with them. And we really do hope that we can be in a place to not only work with them, but also like support these efforts. If
So with, you know, usually when people think of cottage or organic, they think, oh, it's going to cost 10, 20, 30% more than maybe something that I would find, you know, already kind of pre-processed and shelf-stable and, you know, in the grocery stores. And we know that Alaska is an incredibly difficult place to find affordable food. So what is the pricing like? You know, how does it compare? And is it a premium? And
so kind of a two-part answer to that, because it covers both the organic and the locally grown. To grow organic or to grow local is to grow more intentionally. It's you're not using certain inputs that really help you with the the value of your crop. You know, you're not using pesticides, you're not using herbicides, you know, you're hand weeding, you're dealing with a lot more intense practices. And so that's where you tend to get the costs are involved. But on the flip side, you're getting the quality product. You know, you're not worrying about, say, glyphosate, you know, within your produce. You're not having to worry about what you're washing off of it. And your produce, because you're really caring for how your soil caring for your soil health to get that better quality product. One of the reasons you're keeping the insecticides and herbicides out of that soil is for its health. That's giving you a much better product, but it is more labor intensive, and so the price is up there. You know, it goes up higher. On our end, we've we're able to manage the costs. You know, we don't have an extensive store. It's a we're managing it on kind of a bare bones, so we're able to keep the overhead down, and we pass that along to our members and our shoppers. And you don't have to be a member to shop at our store, by the way. Anyone can shop there.
Thank you.
So
thank
you can come
for
in and explore the store.
Anyone, welcome.
See, you buy things and determine if you want to help support by becoming a member. But we've been able to stay pretty competitive. You know, we do watch our local competitors and what their prices are. We're trying to bring value to our members. We want them to have good quality food on their plates. We want our local producers, you know, especially the growers, we want them to be able to grow and make money off of it, you know, and make a reasonable return and not mark it up, you know, into a point where it's out of reach of the community. So there's a balance there. It's a constant moving target. You're looking at what food sources are available, you know, what do people want, what are they going to pay, you know, a premium for, you know, whether when it comes to like quality and health, how intentional are people about their shopping? Some things it's easier to buy a cheaper, you know, whatever it is. Other things you realize that's what you want. You know, it's, maybe it's something that's on the 10 dirtiest produce list. And I recommend people look that up because some are really bad. And so shopping off of that list organic is really important health-wise, whereas other things, you know, it may not be as a big a factor for you in your budget.
Yeah. I think our prices really are competitive with what you'll see locally. I mean, especially when you're comparing across the board with something organic. And also we do like to bring in some fun, maybe unique, fancy stuff that may be out of someone's, you know, typical budget or maybe higher end products. But we do make sure that we are accessible and affordable to our members and our community. That is a huge huge part of our mission. Yeah.
The balance of what to have in the store and what can get to people's plates, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about the space, the storefront. We haven't talked about where is it, how big is it, where how is the space working for you? How long have you had it? I know a lot of questions right there.
Yeah, a lot of questions. We'll first start with the location is 1420 Salig, which is downstairs and behind the furniture store and Grand Slam Toys. So you'll pass it up on Mill Bay, and you'll have to go down and around. We're right there at the bottom next to Honey Salon, our friends. And then...
The space it works really well for us. We have it in two parts right now. We have the front part is our store, and then the back part is kind of a community space. That's where we hold our cottage foods markets. That's also where we hold some fun educational classes. Mm-hmm. We've had knife making back there, soil health, the canning that was held separately.
Fermentation class. She'll be back. Okay. She'll be back. Yeah.
For those of us who missed it.
Mm-hmm. So our goal is to bust out of the seams of that place. Totally. So as the store expands, you know, we'll have to look at how we expand or how we react. So
yeah, and we back in 2020 we received a grant, an LFPP grant, which really allowed us to have some funds to build and get this storefront. And that was in 2021, I believe, was when we secured it. Or was that 2022? Sorry. 2021 is when we secured that place. But because of COVID, it's still kind of coming out of that. Mm-hmm. We were limited to what we could use it for. And we were really focused around this kind of hub model and online orders. And we realized that it worked, but I don't think it was what the community wanted and needed. And so then we kind of were like, let's turn it into a hybrid model. Excuse me. And so we used the back for the industrial kind of hands-on produce boxes, storage, all of that. But then we've been expanding this market front that we have. And we anticipate kind of scooting the shelves, continue invading and into our commercial space kind of until we get to a spot where we feel confident and very comfortable with looking at other locations.
So we have just about a minute left, and I want to talk about you talk about potential growth. So why should people get involved? How can they get involved? What do you need?
Yeah, I think coming into the store, shopping, that's going to be direct help and way to be involved. Also, if you want to volunteer, there's volunteer opportunities. There's also, we have our annual meeting coming up, and that's going to be April 1st. And April 1st from 4 to 5, we'll have a vendor market, and then from 5 to 6 will be the actual meeting. And show up there. We also have our monthly meetings if you want to come learn about how to get involved. Also, becoming a member, $150 lifetime investment in your community-owned grocery store. Like we said, the money stays here. We support local.
Producers. People that want to grow or people that are catching fish locally. And that has to be a commercially caught fish.
Yeah.
But helping to develop people the idea that they can grow their own food and they can share it in their community. And it can be an income source for them.
Mm-hmm. Lots of ways to be involved.
Oh, yeah.
Come see us.
Yeah.
We'd love to chat with you about how to get involved.
Well, one more time, just give them can you give us the location, where's the store, and hours?
Oh, okay.
Sure. Yeah.
So 1420 C-League. Butcher that. right across from the Kodiak Daily Mirror, downstairs from Grand Slam Toys. And our hours are Tuesday through Friday, 3 to 7 p.m., and Saturdays from 12 to 3 p.m.
Yeah. And Saturdays are when we do the fun Maker's Market. So you'll have extra cottage food producers there and things to see. So.
Okay, well, thank you to my guests, Stephanie Mason and Rob Stauffer from the Kodiak Harvest Food Co-op. Thanks so much for talking to us about the importance of local food. And it's springtime, so get growing and contact the co-op. And let's Let's do it. I'm excited
let's
about this.
Let's do it. I love that. Yes. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And
thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening to Talk of the Rock.